Welcome to the PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast, featuring your hosts, Carly Kistler-Miller, David Wynn, and Miles Free.
Hello, I'm Miles Free, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast. Carly Kistler-Miller and David Wynn have joined me, and today we're going to answer the question, how do you know what to do next? Welcome, Carly. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Miles.
Thank you, Miles.
All right, this seems a little vague to me. How do you know what to do next? But I get it, because you need to know, okay, I got this done. What's now? What's next? Is that what we're doing?
Well, you know, my wife has been sending me these articles from various publications online about what to do in your retirement. What do you do? What do you do? What are you going to do today? What are you? And it's.
Is she hinting something here?
That might be. That might be. But it raises the question, we're given structure by our work. But right. What happens when the work instructions are over? What do you do in the times between, the interstices, as we used to say in school?
Nope, nobody says that. Nobody used to say that, Miles.
I said.
All right, you used to say
it. Yeah, think of it like grain boundaries in time. Okay, so you've got time, that's the grain.
Wow.
And then
we just went all Art Bell here. It's like Miles somewhere in time. Grain boundaries somewhere in time.
So the question. My earliest job, I worked at a McDonald's, and my boss had the perfect answer for how do you know what to do next. His answer was, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Uh-huh.
We had a clean McDonald's.
Okay.
So what do you do next?
So are we trying to tell listeners how to fill in the gaps between to-do lists, or how to decide what to do next on your to-do list?
Well, so I don't know if it's about the to-do list or if it's about prioritizing. You know, I talk about, you know, highest and best use. What's the best use for this next moment that you have free? Should you go to your strategic plan? Should you go to your to-do list? Should you just, you know, take one corner of the office and pitch the stuff that shouldn't be there? So it's about prioritizing the value of your time. What is the most valuable thing you can do next, right?
You know, Miles, you're talking about this, and as a former shop manager, I'm looking at this and thinking, where is this spare time coming from? I spent my whole life with a fireman's hat on.
Drinking from the fire hose, right?
Just running around putting out fires
All
day, every day. So that, you know, you talk about dreams all the time. This seems like a dream to me. Where does this spare time come from?
Well, you know, there are times between jobs, between lifts, between standard work. What's the standard work for when there's no standard work?
So this is for people with autonomy.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Well, otherwise they're just being told, do this, do this, do this, do this.
Right.
Okay. So I assume you have an answer to this question.
Well, you know, I took one of those personality tests, and it said that I was kind of like Teddy Roosevelt, and Teddy Roosevelt is kind of like me in that he didn't have great housekeeping either. And he said, in any moment of decision, the best thing that you can do is the right thing. The next best thing to do is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is to do nothing. So my grandfather actually was in the cavalry. And Teddy Roosevelt was, was cavalry rough riders. And that's the one quote I can remember from my grandfather was, do the right thing, do the wrong thing, but do something.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think that I asked you the question earlier where that magic time comes from. I used to have to make myself sit down and like work on other things. So you take a moment and sit outside the fire for a minute and literally sit down and create a list, a prioritized list of what actually creates the most value for the company today versus constantly running around and putting out those fires. And so I think that this is really is where the real money is made. And too many people don't spend enough time here is that looking for those other things,
right,
the bonus things that aren't on the to-do list, that aren't on the instruction sheet, that really adds value.
That's exactly right. That's my point. So,
well, I couldn't agree more, but Miles, I got to back up the bus a little. You said do the right thing or do the wrong thing as long as you're doing something. I have to disagree with the wrong thing part of that. I would rather you do nothing than do the wrong thing. Now, if you do something and you make a mistake, I'm totally okay with that. You're learning from your mistake. So if that's what you meant, I agree 100%.
Well, like I said, it was a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, and I think he was opportunistic, and if he did the wrong thing, it was a chance to fix something. So
I think that was a quote about inaction too, because, you know, he's a battlefield commander. I think that was like, hey, look, you don't just stand there and get blown up. We're going to do something. You make a call. You're going to move left. You're going to move right. If you make the wrong call, then too bad. At least you made a call. We didn't stand there and get obliterated.
Right. But out of respect to Carly's, you know, I won't call it an objection, but out of respect to her thought, maybe there are some guardrails to put on. And so I'd like to, you know, let's go back to the ancient times, and in the first place, do no harm. So what if we said before you do anything, make sure that whatever it is you do doesn't put yourself, the business, the customer, somebody in danger, you know? So there's now a thought process for how do I get from what I'm, you know, my idleness to my next best thing that I should be doing. What is that? Well, it won't hurt anyone. It won't hurt you.
Yeah, so I guess my thinking was, okay, I'm making this part. It's the tool needs to be changed or whatever. Something's going wrong. So I have a choice of doing nothing or doing the wrong thing. The wrong thing is, just let it go. I'm still making parts, even though they're not the right parts, and they're not going to meet spec, and quality is going to have a fit. So I guess that's where my head was going. But in war, I totally get it. In war,
well, even in the shop, making a stop, you know, stop the machine is the decision. Stop the machine, go get quality. Stop the machine, go get the supervisor. That's doing something.
That's doing the right thing. Yeah, the wrong.
Pull the and on.
Wrong thing is to let it make the wrong part.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we get back to this idea of this interstitial time, this time between things, don't laugh at that.
I need a dictionary today.
Seriously. Are you getting paid by the word length?
the time between, maybe instead of having standard work, we have standing instructions. I did that as a foreman. If I didn't have a defined task to do, then I would do safety contacts.
Okay.
My standing instruction to myself was, okay, the jobs are assigned, the people are present, the time cards are punched, da, 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 da. Now I can work on safety. And guess what? Nobody else worked on safety, so that kind of became a superpower.
So you know what to do next by having kind of a priority list ahead of time.
I think so. A map. You called it a map in an earlier
a personal project. Strategic plan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Of the territory.
Okay. So how does this work? Does this just work on the Does it work on the shop floor? Does it work in the office? Does it work for quality? How do you see this being applied?
I think it works for everybody, but I think what we need to do is we need to have a value system, and we work on, you know, what's the next best thing in my world. In my world, the next best thing was getting safety contacts. In McDonald's, my boss at McDonald's world, it was wipe up a counter, wipe up a spill, fill the ice bucket, and
that was still safety too, because, you know, food's safe. That if you leave food laying around, you've got all this bacterial growth and everything. Cleanliness in a restaurant is imperative. So.
I love validation, David. Thank you so much.
Okay, so if we know that we are done with, say, the standard work, and the next thing's going to be safety, this is something you're prioritizing yourself? Or you work with somebody to say, all right, when I have a minute, I'm going to work on safety. When you have a minute, could you work on blah, blah, blah?
Right. So I think without a plan, there is no plan, and we get whatever we get. But if we all agree that in these between time opportunities, we all work on what we think or what we know to be our next best thing. For me, it happens to be safety, not housekeeping.
Right.
For others, it's housekeeping, and maybe I should swap my priorities. But, you know, what is the next best thing? I think that the point of this entire conversation is that without having a plan, without having a vision for what to do, we will do nothing.
Yeah, you know what? You just described something that I think is really important in the shop, is that you give your performers responsibility and authority for a vision, and then let them take that. So they know in their spare time, this is what they work on. So say, you know, performer A, you've got this tool drawer. This is your responsibility and authority. Keep this thing organized. Keep it safe. Keep everything done. And you give somebody else another section, and they know when they've got spare time, that's what their baby is. They work on that. And if they get it done, then we give them a new baby. And I think that's really cool that you give them something. It also gives them purpose and drive to do something else for the organization.
That's exactly right, David. I wish you'd have written this article.
Too bad you wrote it already. So what else do our listeners need to know?
Well, I have this idea about highest and best use, and I would really look at the team that you have, and I would make it a point to come up with a standing instruction or two based on the talent that each of these performers brings to you, so that you've got the person who is intensely focused and detailed putting the gauges away, and the person that can, you know, parachute out of an airplane and just make something happen, have them as kind of the freelance to, hey, there's a spill. Why is this stuff here? And know that they have the authority to be away from their particular workplace because they're doing what is, in fact, in the highest and best use, and protecting everybody in the shop by getting it, you know, corralled, lassoed, and put in the right stall.
Okay.
And that wraps up today's podcast on how do you and your performers know what to do next? Thank you for joining us.
For additional information, please visit pmpa.org, where you can find our knowledge centers filled with articles, webinars, more podcasts, and other resources for precision machining.
Yes, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss one. Plus, check out our Speaking of Suppliers podcast, where we talk to PMPA technical members and learn how they can help our shops.
And if you aren't already taking advantage of a PMPA membership, be sure to check out PMPA.org and learn how we can help you thrive. And why is a PMPA membership important, Miles and Dave?
Because we are better together.
Don't forget to join us next Monday on Speaking of Precision. he can tighten that up